May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When a handful of us self-proclaimed liturgy nerds met to plan this Pride service some months ago, we couldn't quite agree on one thing: who this service was for. And as the saying goes, when you ask five Episcopalians their thoughts about something, you'll get six opinions. Nonetheless, and even though we couldn't quite agree, the question seemed pressing to explore. Was this Pride service for the down and out, or the out and proud? Would folks who hadn't darkened the door of a church in years or ever feel as welcome here as folks who come week by week to this place? The answer, in short, was yes, all of the above. We wanted this Pride service to be for all of those people and more. And ultimately, we decided, or at least I think, that anytime you plan something like this, you can do a lot to create an atmosphere of welcome and inclusion. But you also have to leave space for how the Holy Spirit will show up with her fabulous, expectation-shattering, status quo-stomping, chaos-embracing self. The way I see it, we do about 25% of the work to create that sense of inclusion and welcome, and she does the rest. Ultimately, we also decided that sometimes it is best to let Jesus speak for himself, as he does when he reminds us that blessed are those who are reviled and persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Ultimately, we decided if we aligned ourselves with the life-giving love of God, then the intent of the service was, in this case, less important than the impact. All of this is to say that everything we do here in this place, in this church, and when we leave this place, all that we do to glorify and praise God will, I hope, be felt and received as a sort of blessing to all who gather here, regardless of where you are in life, regardless of whether you have what you think are the right credentials, spiritually or otherwise. I've talked to a lot of people in the past week or so who have a lot of feelings about Pride. Whereas some people lament that it's become far too corporate, others fear that it's a little too freaky to be respectable. I'm here to assert that whether you delighted in the Charmin samples and Spectrum TV discount you received at the parade, or whether you felt validated walking down the street, letting yourself be fully yourself, blessed are you. I'm here to assert that if you didn't go to the parade at all, or went and dipped your toes in, or went and felt conflicted, or went and fully embraced it all, blessed are you. I'm here to assert that whether you feel too gay or not gay enough, whether the word queer feels like a slap in the face or a song in your heart, blessed are you. Blessed are you who feel too Christian for your gay friends, or too gay for your Christian friends. Blessed are you who find it harder to come out as followers of Jesus than anything else, based on how Jesus' life and legacy has been abused, distorted, and weaponized by Christians to suggest that you are somehow bad, wrong, or anything less than perfect. One of the great many paradoxes of our faith reminds us that while our particular identities are important, for example, Jesus doesn't shy away from naming people in their specific context, the Samaritan, the centurion, the Syrophoenician woman, our identities here on earth are fleeting and flimsy compared to our identity as children of a loving God. So whether you find that a particular letter in the phrase LGBTQ represents you, or whether each letter somehow feels limiting, blessed are you. Blessed are you for whom labels are a source of freedom. Blessed are you for whom labels are a source of angst, for whom certainty feels comforting or overrated. Blessed are you when you are on the receiving end of others' discomfort. And blessed are you when the discomfort with who you are swells up within your own heart. Blessed are you on the front lines. But also blessed are you when you give yourself permission, if and when you can, to step out of the trenches and to allow yourself to experience joy, delight, renewal, and belonging. When Jesus said that those who have been oppressed and marginalized are blessed, he wasn't saying that heaven was some sort of consolation prize for the losers in life. No, what he meant, I'm certain, is that there is something unique that we misfits know about eternal life. You see, when your life has been on the chopping block for so long, you come to understand deep in your bones that something beyond hateful legislation, beyond the bans, defines who we are and who we are called to be as we live into the full stature of Christ. Existing on the razor's edge, we know that something they will try to do first is to take our spirituality away from us. However, we also know that we queer folk are uniquely spiritually attuned. We can't and we won't let them steal our substance and our birthright. As Billy Porter reminds us, quote, "Everyone wants to talk about Jesus all the time. Jesus was a radical, and they crucified him for what he believed in. We forget that part. They forget that Jesus was hanging out with people like me." End quote. Porter's words remind us that if you feel mere acceptance or tolerance in your family, in your church, but you don't feel embraced, celebrated, and loved beyond measure, it's okay to take a break. It's okay to give yourself space. It's okay to move along. Episcopal priest Reverend Liz Edmond writes in her book, Queer Virtue, What LGBTQ People Know About Life and Love and How It Can Revitalize Christianity. She writes that not all Christians need to be queer, and they aren't. But that authentic Christianity is and must be queer. What I take that to mean is that if we are truly following Jesus, if we are truly following him, there is a certain upending of the status quo that must occur. And what's more, members of the queer community are particularly adept at dissolving boundaries, moving through the world with openness and grace, and making a way where there seems to be no way, doing it in Daisy Dukes and big wigs to boot. To see your value and worth is to experience God's love. And to experience God's love is to join with all of God's children, past, present, and yet to come, who have envisioned God's kingdom and then worked and fought and hustled like hell to breathe life into that vision. If you came here tonight because that is a vision you can put your weight and your life behind You came to the right place, and we are so glad you are here. This isn't our church that we are welcoming you into. This is God's church, and God has prepared a place just for you within it. Thanks be to God for your life and all that you are and all that you will be. Blessed are you. God delights in you. Amen.